Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Thanks for being with us on a wonderful Wednesday here aboard the DA show. Coming up this morning on the program, in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, it's not Torg Bellinger, it's Spencer Torkelson, and he's giving the Tigers some juice. Coming up an hour from now, John Hunter Nemechek, the young man of the NASCAR number 38 Ford, is going to join us, talk a little racing as they head to Indy this weekend. John Hunter Nemechek coming up here in about an hour from now. But all summer long, going back into the spring, we've done Mothership at the Movies, and the reason has been that when pandemic started and sports got shut down, we had to find things to analyze, to break down, to rank, to discuss, to argue over. And so we turned to sports movies, and we have done some classics, and we've done some trash. And we went through a run there where we did Ladybugs with Roddy Dangerfield, Ed, which starred Matt LeBlanc and a chimpanzee that played third base for a minor league baseball team. And then Eddie, where the New York Knicks were coached by Whoopi Goldberg. Okay, not exactly Citizen Kane and the Two Godfathers. So since we've tried to pivot here to well-regarded, popular sports films, and we've done some good, we've done some bad. Slapshot is an all-time classic. We all loved it. Then we did The Natural, which is a classic, and we all thought it sucked and didn't understand why people liked it. This week, I think it's unanimous. The Sandlot is a wonderful, amazing sports film. It's time for Mothership at the Movies.
Roll tape.
Because there's no flying in baseball. There's no flying in baseball.
So what I do is I start tackling the quarterback unless he get the ball to somebody else, in which case I try to tackle that person.
Say hey, Willie Mays Hayes here. Play like Mays, and I run like Hayes. How you doing?
The greatest sports movies with the greatest sports minds. Kinda.
Either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready with a DA show.
A couple of weeks ago, we also did A League of Their Own. That was a phenomenal sports movie. And this one was kind of perfect for 4th of July week because it's about playing baseball with your friends in the summer. There's a 4th of July scene. So kind of perfect for this week. Basically, the backdrop is a young man in, I think, 4th grade or 5th grade. He's 10 years old, named Smalls, moves into a new neighborhood. He's got a new stepdad. He's kind of uncomfortable asking his stepdad baseball questions. His dad is a big baseball fan. Smalls wants to be part of something. Seemingly he loves baseball, but doesn't know how to play, doesn't know the history of the game, and is looking to make new friends. He's adopted by the kids of the neighborhood that play Sandlot baseball every single day throughout the summer. And this is the story of their summer. And then the big scene is they need a baseball. Smalls goes home and gets his stepdad's historic Babe Ruth signed baseball. They use it. Smalls hits it over the fence into the yard of a killer dog, and they've got to try to retrieve the historic baseball back. So, Mraz, let's start here. I mean, what's the deal with Smalls here? The kid, he's already 10 years old. He doesn't know how to throw. He doesn't know how to catch. He doesn't know who Babe Ruth is, and he doesn't even know where left field is. How could I take seriously Smalls that he wants to play baseball? He's so excited to play baseball. How come he doesn't know how to do anything, and yet he thinks he likes baseball?
Well, this part was very confusing to me. So obviously you feel bad for Smalls, his biological father, not with him anymore. Now he's down to his stepfather, who seemingly is a baseball junkie. I mean, he's got pennants of every team hung up. He's got Babe Ruth signed baseballs. And he waits until he's 10 years old, when this guy's been around for basically 8 years of his life, to finally have a catch with him. And all he has is a plastic mitt that his grandmother got him. And he knows all about who's leading the Dodgers and stolen bases. So how could you, just by watching the sport, own a plastic mitt, even if you don't have somebody having a catch with you, how can you not figure out some kind of coordination here? But I do give Smalls credit in the fact that, you know what? He at least wants to learn. He's very into science. He's very into kind of nerding out. He's got his erector set. But he still wants to break away from that, get dirty, be a kid, play some baseball. So I give him credit, but it is a little mind-numbing that he can't figure out one thing. Not even a guy that smart can't figure out what left center is. That's a little disturbing.
Yeah. Doesn't know where left field is in the baseball diamond, yet claims that he is a baseball fan. And 10 years old isn't 5 years old. You've never thrown a baseball? I mean, look, I don't know. I was annoyed by Smalls for almost the entire set, the entire movie here. But they go to play catch in the outfield. They go to play catch in the yard. Dennis Leary plays his stepdad. He doesn't know how to catch. He's never basically played catch with anybody in his life. They go out to the yard, and ultimately, Dennis Leary throws a ball that hits him in the eye and gives him a bloody eye, a black eye. Bogues, you've got two kids. Dennis Leary admits he threw a curveball. If you were playing baseball with a young person that had never caught a baseball before, would you throw a curve? Is this a terrible decision by Dennis Leary?
It's a terrible decision. I don't think I've thrown a ball overhand to my kids yet. Everything has been underhand or a grounder or, like, put your glove out to the side.
He throws a curve!
Yeah, I'll throw it at their gloves. I can try and catch without any kind of danger. The one mistake I have made is throwing, like, a mini pop-up to my daughter who missed it and it landed on the top of her head, which is not a great moment. But that was, like, on catch session number 74, not number one, where he's out there throwing heaters and curveballs at this poor kid who doesn't even know where to put his glove to catch the ball. It was not good fathering at all early in this movie from Dennis Leary.
Yeah, it's a brutal job by being a stepdad here. He's making no connection with his son. He's blowing him off. He's throwing curveballs in the yard to a kid that has never caught before. You know, look, I hate to break it to you, stepdad, but it is your responsibility to get Smalls up to speed here. If he's 10 years old and he's never caught a baseball before, it's your fault. That's just bad. That's bad parenting. It's really awful parenting.
Across the board, D.A., he doesn't know what s'mores are. So the entire union has let this poor kid down for 10 years.
And this is why Smalls really is brutal in this film. Mraz, you know, I thought about you here. They're in the treehouse. You know, the great Hambino is making s'mores, and Smalls doesn't know what a s'more is. Now, you don't have to know who Babe Ruth is, catching a baseball, what have you. How could a 10-year-old not know what a s'mores is? Isn't that just a terrible, terrible moment for him?
Well, D.A., if you don't know who Babe Ruth is, who might be the biggest celebrity on the planet that you should know about historically, 1962, as a young boy who loves baseball, I can't expect you, father and mother, to have been outside with campfires teaching you how to roast a marshmallow either. So when your basis is you don't know who Babe Ruth is, I can't expect you to know what a s'more is. I would also say that's a tough way to learn a s'more for the first time. I think you got to learn a s'more over a real fire, not basically over candlelight indoors inside a treehouse. So, look, if you are going to learn what a s'more is for the first time at 10 years old, who better to teach you than the great Hambino, than Elton Hamilton Porter? But
I can't crush it for not knowing what a s'more is when he has his entire basis of knowing things is so out the window. I don't know what his, forget his father, what his mother has been teaching him.
Ham Porter is an amazing young man, okay? This is a guy that calls his shot. He hits the home run. He loses the ball, takes a victory lap. He trash talks everybody as the catcher when they're up at the plate. 4th of July, to get a quick bite, he runs outside, grabs the hot dog with one hand, throws the condiments on that hot dog with the other hand, and just smashes his face full of it. I mean, he's an amazing young man. But I got one problem with Porter. He calls marshmallow mallow. And I didn't like that. He puts the marshmallow on the stick, roasted over the candle in the treehouse, and says, you put the graham, and then you put the chocolate, and then put your mallow on top of the chocolate, and put the graham back on it. And I'm like, come on, Mraz, nobody calls marshmallow mallow.
I certainly don't, but I also, D.A., understanding my historical problems, whether it be the Magna Carta where Michael Jackson's from,
sure.
I personally interpreted that as in 1962 in California on the West Coast, that was a West Coast twang of calling a marshmallow a mallow. If you mean to tell me you way more educated than me are telling me that that was never a thing, then I do have more of a problem with it.
I think mallow comes in the jar, right, Bogues? That there's like... there's the mallow fluff. Like, fluff is, I think, just mallow, but a marshmallow is actually in that shape of the marshmallow, and that's what he was roasting. I don't think it was fluff out of a jar. He was roasting a marshmallow.
Yeah, I have to, you know, I don't know the history of marshmallows. My thought was mallow was something, was a brand name, like we say Kleenex instead of tissue.
There's Malamars, the cookies, the Malamar.
Right, I mean, so he had a marshmallow. They're called marshmallows. So I don't know where that came from, but that definitely caught my ear. Also, he goes with s'mores. I've always done s'mores, like
sure.
Really crunching it together. He goes s'mores, which is another thing. I don't know if I hold it against him. Maybe it was just 1962 California, but there was a lot of language issues in that one scene.
Now, they go to the pool, and this is where Squints fakes a drowning so that the hot chick who is the lifeguard, Wendy Peppercorn, can save him and give him mouth-to-mouth, who he ends up basically French kissing while he's acting like he's dead. Unbelievable move by Squints. We end up finding out that he ends up married to Wendy with 9 kids, so a huge win for Squints. But it gets them banned from the pool, not only for the day, not only for the week, not for the month, not for the summer, but forever. Guys, are you okay with Squints getting the entire crew banned from the pool forever?
No, and honestly, I think all of those guys, Hams, Smalls, they'd all win this battle in court. If I was me, and you know me in the foxhole, I am back at that pool the next morning before I'm due back at the sandlot. And speaking to everybody involved in the pool and go, look, that was not me. He might be my friend. I love coming to this pool. I won't hang out with him ever again if it means I could be in the pool. So I absolutely would throw Squints under the bus. There's no way you're banning me from the pool. And by the way, I don't even benefit because you're getting the hot lifeguard anyway. That's a terrible job by him as a friend to get them all banned. I would also question that scene specifically. How the people running the pool knew their exact clothes and to throw them at them as they're being chased away, that seemed like some trickle. I mean, so quickly, word got there when there's no text messages yet to throw those clothes out the window. I think, honestly, they should have found who was throwing that. That could have been their second pitcher because all they did was have the one pitcher.
That's a really good point. You know, all of their clothes are thrown out of this kind of bathhouse so that they can grab them on their way out. But look, there's an accomplice here because they know whose clothes and who was part of this crew that tried to French kiss Wendy Peppercorn. Let me also ask you this here, guys. As I said, I love Ham Porter. I think Ham Porter is one of the great characters in baseball history. I would take him behind the plate any day of the week in my Sandlot baseball team. But he's living in California. It's 1962. It's the Sandy Koufax Dodgers years. We see one of the kids is wearing an Angels hat as well. I mean, they're Southern California kids. Hambino's wearing a Yankees cap. Guys, is he a traitor? I mean, is he a bad fan? He's wearing a Yankees cap in Los Angeles in the early 60s?
I mean, Bogus, I'm sure you're going to go the same way as me. I think that's all about Babe Ruth. His idol was Babe Ruth. And much like you'd see a kid wearing a LeBron Cavs jersey growing up in Boston or New York or L.A. now, I think that you have a situation where I'm assuming Ham Porter's parents, not as big a Dodger Angel fans, he managed to teach himself how to play catch, and he just followed the great Babe Ruth, and that was going to be his team and his legacy was being a Yankee fan. I would argue he probably didn't have the MLB extra innings package back in 1962, so I don't know how big a fan he could have been. But, yeah, I would go probably because of the legend of Babe Ruth.
Now, there's one night game a summer, and it's in air quotes. The night game happens on the 4th of July because there's no light to the Sandlot, but they can play underneath the light of the fireworks. I got a tough time calling this a night game here, guys. I mean, we know that fireworks go off for maybe 20 minutes. If you're lucky, it's a 30-minute fireworks show. You're not getting much more than that. They don't really have light to play an entire game. They've got light to play for a half hour. So, I don't know. I know they call it a night game. Small says there's one night game a summer. You know, folks, I just got a tough time calling it a night game. That's not really that accurate there.
No, I mean, and I don't want to nitpick the kids living the dream one summer, but and the two or three times that I played under the lights growing up, it was an amazing experience. So, like, I want them to feel that. But that was my same thought, too. Is like, and my neighborhood now is like a war zone on the 4th of July. There are fireworks going off the second it's dark enough for hours from all different areas. There's still no way that we have the ability to play a baseball game, especially stand in left field and know what's going on at the plate or followable anywhere. So they can have their fun. But they're asking for trouble because it's not light enough to get out there. That's right for somebody getting hurt, hit by a line drive or something, because they certainly can't see well enough thanks to some fireworks.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if your local town looks like Baghdad lit up in the sky with fireworks. You can't play a game under those fireworks.
Yeah, and how about just enjoy the fireworks? You play baseball every single day. You're up early. The summer's hot. I don't think you need the night game there. I think the schedule is conducive for them on the Sandlot to just play daytime baseball. You know, we argue this point with baseball today and coming up with the schedule that's soon to be released, that we need more day games for the kids. I think you have a lot of young Rob Manfreds there that just don't get it. You didn't need the firework night game. You're not allowing kids. I mean, are any kids, if that was the majors, any kids watching or the kids outside watching the fireworks? It's a problem. They're not being visionary enough. They think they're being visionary. They're not. What you see there might be setting the standard for what's wrong with baseball here all these decades later, and it all started with them wanting to play that night game on the 4th of July.
So Benny ends up on the 4th of July night hitting a home run, which, of course, always ends the game. They're seemingly very happy about when Benny hits home runs, but it ruins the game. So they go out there for a couple of minutes. He smashes a home run. Night is over. Okay, kids, everybody go home. There's no more baseballs to be had. My next question is, they run into basically their rivals, the Rose Park Tigers, and the Tigers are in uniform. And I'm wondering, are the Rose Park Tigers always in uniform? Because not only do they roll up on the Sandlot kids in uniform on their bikes and they go into that kind of trash-talking scene, but when they play the Rose Park Tigers the next day, or later that day, I don't know.
The next day,
they're also in uniform, whereas the Sandlot kids are just wearing, you know, button downs, polos. I mean, they are a ragtag group. Some jean shorts are in there, full-length jeans. So, Mraz, are the Rose Park Tigers always in uniform, even during exhibition against the Sandlot kids?
Yeah, it seems like they should be having other clothes. You had a problem with clothing all over the place. I have a problem playing baseball in jeans to begin with if you're the Sandlot kids.
I sure
but
do, too.
But really, my takeaway with the Rose Park Tigers is, number one, for a team that wants to roll up on bikes and talk smack to the Sandlot team, they're not that good when they get crushed the following day. And number two, are we to interpret this that these kids playing Sandlot baseball, including Benny the Jet, who later finds his way to the major leagues, parents don't sign them up to play in whatever league the Rose Park Tigers are in? Their only form of baseball is not organized. It's organized by Benny the Jet Rodriguez. I mean, Yaya is certainly good enough to play short. We have a pitcher that eventually makes AAA who's certainly good enough to twirl on the mound. I mean, the great Hambino's a great power hitter, has more power than anybody on that Tiger team. And nobody's parents picked up a permission slip to sign him to maybe go compete. They should be the Rose Park Tigers.
Yeah, that was my thought, too. Like, how downtrodden are we supposed to think these Sandlot kids are? They're scrounging for baseballs daily. They're playing at this field, and they're clearly, and then are they not in Little League? Is Little League over? Because even when they go to this other field, it's an actual field with a real fence. There's signage on the fence for a little, you know, why are these kids just off in this dirt lot doing nothing? Can they not afford Little League? It made me sad.
Little League, Benny the Jet's got multiple mitts. He's got multiple hats.
Right. He's a sporting goods store.
Benny the Jet seems like he's loaded, and his parents know he's this great. He can't sign up and go play left for the Roseland Park Tigers. But I got a major issue.
But are they loaded? I mean, they're scrounging for bottles to get 98 cents to buy a new baseball.
It's expensive in 1962 for a baseball, by the way. You want kids to get in the game, maybe make the sport a little more affordable for kids to play.
Well, I got a problem with their parents.
They also find a dollar every day, D.A.
Their parents need to fund more baseballs. They should not have to end playing a game every single day simply because they only have one baseball. 98 cents. Hey, Bill, stepdad Bill, you're flying to Chicago for a business trip the entire week. Can you throw Smalls a couple of bucks for baseballs?
Which brings me to my next point, D.A. You want to talk about Benny the Jet Rodriguez is such a great coach that somehow he can take the 10 years of disaster that's been done with Smalls, tell him to basically just stick your glove out. I'll hit it where it needs to be. Benny the Jet Rodriguez might be the best baseball coach of any of the movies we have done to date. That is how special a talent he is. Yet, they are within an easy enough bike ride of the Roseland Tigers practice facility or game facility, which, if you look in the shot, has plenty of grass and plenty of space, plenty of room for everybody to have fun. Yet these bozos keep showing up to this sandlot where they lose a ball and it's vanished forever because they have a Herculean tiger sitting behind left field. It's a bigger monstrosity than what the Marlins have in the outfield. And you mean to tell me that these kids, nobody ever has the thought, hey, we're having a tough time coming up with 98 cents to buy a baseball. Maybe we want to get our asses on a bike and drive the extra 5-6 minutes to go play on the extra field where the Tigers play so that maybe when somebody hits a home run, we can just, you know, jump over the fence and get the ball. These kids, for as smart a coach as Benny the Jet Rodriguez is, for as, you know, Herculean they are when they try to come up with ways to retrieve the baseball, they don't have the foresight, the wherewithal, anything to realize maybe we need to ride an extra 5 minutes to drive to a field where we don't lose the ball and a game has to be over because Benny the Jet got into one. How ridiculous is that? How stupid are these kids?
It's also a remarkably dangerous place to play.
Yes!
Because there's a broken down Jeep in center field. There's tires. It's a junkyard they're playing in. They're literally playing in a junkyard. I think there's a tree out there in left field.
Yeah, and they built the treehouse up there. Who built the treehouse, by the way? They were able to smart enough to build a treehouse. They can't ride the bike 5 minutes.
It's a bad scene. It's a really bad scene. Part two of Mothership at the Movies coming up here next hour as we get into the ball being retrieved from the beast's backyard. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
They're partners. You mean DA doesn't invite Marash to things with him?
Guess
like
not.
That?
DA explained to us, this is a big dinner, it's a big agency, and I can't have Marash there rubbing garlic bread all over his cheeks. You know, so, I mean, imagine that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Remember that the DA show is available in podcast form. If you ever want to hear anything that you may have missed or catch it again, go to your favorite podcast platform and search The DA Show. Rate and review us, subscribe, and you're good to go. Full episodes are available as well as the best of the show every single day. Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. And we are funky this morning on a Wednesday. Andrew Bogish has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Ace Hardware. Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means premium quality paint at Ace's award-winning service are now just around the block. If you want a new look, look no further than Ace. The NBA is dealing with a spike of coronavirus cases in Florida, as well as positive tests throughout the league. Commissioner Adam Silver told Time magazine yesterday they're keeping a close eye on everything, but there's no reason to change their Orlando plans right now. Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon is one of the players that has put his name on a positive test. President of Basketball Operations Kevin Pritchard said Brogdon is doing his best to get healthy.
This is a little bit of a setback in his conditioning, but I think he's done a great job in his house doing everything he can, you know, running, doing weights. I think he's doing maybe some yoga. I think he's doing everything he possibly can, but there is going to be a step up in his conditioning that we're going to have to be very careful.
Pritchard also said yesterday one of his players was still undecided about Disney World. It was guard Justin Holliday. He now says he is good to go. Baseball's second version of spring training begins today. Last month's number one pick, Spencer Torkelson, will be with the Tigers. They're signing for a record $8.416 million bonus. And Angels GM Billy Epler confirmed Shohei Ohtani will hit and pitch this summer. Ohtani was just a DH last season after Tommy John surgery in October 2018. While all that happens, there officially is no minor league baseball this summer. All seasons formally canceled yesterday. Playing without fans like the majors was never an option for them because they need fans and their dollars. Unless I missed it, the Patriots not officially signed Cam Newton yet, but he is already working with his new teammates, Newton and Wadah Muhammad Sanu, together yesterday on UCLA's campus. College football now, Mack Brown killing it on the recruiting trail. North Carolina beating Texas A&M, Ohio State, and Georgia. For Virginia high school quarterback Tony Grimes, he is the number one corner in the class of 2021, a top 10 prospect altogether. He is their second five-star commitment from that class of 21. And finally, some hockey, DA. Now, Bob McKenzie covers the sport like Sean covers the Schwartz. And Bob says, barring a last-minute complication, the NHL's restart will be in Toronto and Edmonton, so no American hub city Ooh. Like Las Vegas or L.A. And now, sit back and be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
It's been a while, so let us say hello again to Florida woman. This particular lady from the Sunshine State wants a paternity test for her goats. Her goats. Chris Hedstrom filed a lawsuit against her neighbor recently over her five new Nigerian dwarf goats.
Sure.
She paid $900 for them and wants to register the five with the American Dairy Goat Association, which tracks goats' pedigrees. And the paperwork you get from that association increases the resale value of goats. So apparently if your goat has paperwork about where it came from, you can sell it for more if you want to sell it down the road. However, when Hedstrom began tried to get this certification, she was denied because the person that she bought the goats from, her neighbor, Heather Daner, and her farm are not active members of the association. So she needed hair from her goat's baby daddy. So she asked Daner for that, didn't get it, and then relative all hell broke loose in their part of Florida. Daner says that Hedstrom has repeatedly called the police on her trespass on her property. Cops have been out there three times already. There was a lull. Maybe things were done. And then this lawsuit happened just a couple of weeks ago. So they are fighting over the family tree of five goats in Florida and using both the police and legal system to come to a conclusion on that.
Again, it's the most Florida story ever. Huh. If you live in Florida, these types of things happen all the time with your neighbors. You're like, what? They're fighting over goats? There's trespassing because of goats? There's a paternity test because of goats? Now, to get the paternity test done, she needs 40 follicles of hair from the baby daddy of the goat. And I'm guessing this is why she's been caught trespassing. My guess is she's tried to get onto the farm and find 40 follicles or cut the 40 follicles off of the goat. It shouldn't be that hard to get 40 follicles of hair or fur off of the goat. So I'm wondering why the owner of the goat wouldn't just give it to her. Is she worried that the paternity test is going to say, like Maury Povich, it is, you are the father.
Right. Maybe there's some crossbreeding. They're not full goat. She knows it's going to come out with. But I also would wonder, 40 follicles, a goat's hair, I mean, it's not like straight hair. They are clumped up, and it looks like cauliflower all over them. Wouldn't you just need to get one of those chunks? Wouldn't have that have 40 follicles in it?
I don't know. I guess not every goat
has... Of a sheep, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Like a sheep has the curly wool. Like a goat just has, you know, fur.
Maybe I didn't realize goats and sheep were different. I kind of just thought they were the same thing.
Shocking.
It's probable.
All right. And also, I would just say, you know, as everybody basically wants to fist fight on Twitter on whether or not, you know, who's to blame for Florida spikes of corona cases and bars being open, you know, not enough credit given to the people trespassing to get goat follicle hairs and not acknowledging social distancing here as well. This is the kind of stuff that's going on in Florida, and why people are questioning the NBA. You have people running on everybody's property trying to snip goat hair off because they need to prove for paperwork. These are the reasons things spread.
It's why DeAndre Jordan's not reporting the bubble.
Totally the goat problem.
Hedstrom bought one of the goats, Margoat, for her friend Penny Vickery of Palm Harbor.
Oh,
Vickery said her goat had lice and worms that required five medications a day.
Ooh.
Margoat has made a full recovery, but Vickery doesn't have the paperwork to register her. Quote, I have an amazing, beautiful, pretty little girl, but the vet said she's not sure she's a purebred. I thought I was going to have the option if I wanted to breed her, but maybe I don't. Between the trespassing and constant harassment of the police officer, she's been a nightmare of a neighbor. Could you imagine your neighbor doing this?
Well, you know what they say? Don't get involved in goat sales with neighbors. It'll ruin the entire relationship. There'll be no more block parties. There'll be
That's
no
right.
more barbecues. You never, you want to buy a goat, you do it off the street. You never do it on the same street. That's it's simple etiquette. Never buy a goat from thy neighbor.
You don't goat where you eat.
Fair.
Are goats and sheep related in some way, or am I crazy?
I mean, they might be related in some way that they're both smallish farm animals, but they're like not the same thing.
Like, can a goat, for lack of a better term, mate with a sheep? Like, I think I thought maybe a sheep was a lady version and a goat was a male version.
Are you confusing goats and lambs? Because lambs, are young sheep.
Yeah.
But goats are a completely separate thing from sheep.
Maybe. That makes sense.
And a male sheep is like a ram, like the Los Angeles Rams or the Colorado State Rams. That's a male sheep.
So there's sheeps that are women, rams that are men, and lambs that are kids.
Yes.
Now, may I ask this further question, sir, down this road? We all have had, as James Dolan would say, rack a lamb, country ham, hold the broccoli, please.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me, on Easter or whatever day, when we're having rack of lamb, why aren't we having rack of sheep? Why is it always the kids we're eating and not the adults? Like, why have we never had a nice ram cutlet?
I don't know why we're not eating ram, but I think we're not eating sheep because it might, as they get older, get a little gamey, kind of like veal versus regular beef. Now, regular beef is delicious.
Right,
but of
that's
course,
what I would say.
I think you can eat sheep. I just don't think it's all that popular of a dish. I think it's relatively gamey.
And we obviously have goat cheese and goat milk, but I guess we don't have sheep cheese and sheep milk?
No, I've never heard of sheep cheese and sheep milk. I don't know if sheep produce milk.
And my mom often told me to wipe my sheepish grin off my face. Is that because of the sheep and what goes on with their mouth, or can a goat smile too? I'm serious, guys.
Is
a sheepish grin have to do with the animal?
I don't know. I don't know if if the adjective sheepish has to do actually with a sheep.
All right.
It has to come from sheep.
I do want to know, has your mom said that after the fart story, that you have a sheepish grin on your face?
Well, no, she had a sheepish grin when she first confessed to me that she had this. But no, there was several times where growing up I would do something and she would wipe that sheepish grin off your face. And I didn't know what it meant. And I just thought the sheep and the goats were the same things. And now I understand. It's probably the zoo they took me to.
Did she eat sheep before farting? Could that have explained the horrible
gas? There was lamb. No, they were lamb lollipops. I remember that was one of the first times I had lamb. They called them lamb lollies, and they were in the appetizer hour.
When Mraz goes to that Long Island animal farm where he learned about all these animals improperly, it's like, oh, mommy, is that a sheep? No, it's just a goat in a North Face.
Right, that's the other thing. So sheep we use for wool, right? A sheep in wool's clothing. We've heard that. And now nope. We don't use goat. So we don't use that. the goat for the hair. No, we just use the goat for the milk and the cheese.
Did
so
you say it's a sheep in wolves clothing?
No, a sheep in wool's clothing. Wool.
Wool.
Yeah.
Oh,
got it. That's why.
Wearing like a wool sweater.
Right.
A sheep wearing its own sweater.
Wool is made from sheep hair. So it's a sheep in wool's
clothing. So what do you think that reference would be? A sheep wearing its own hair.
Well, like you shouldn't be wearing fur that came from you. Like they took it off the sheep and then they put it into wool and now you're wearing the wool's clothing. So you
Yeah, but why would that be bad?
Because it's kind of like cannibalism. You shouldn't be eating yourself. You shouldn't be wearing yourself either.
Okay, so when somebody says
sheep.
When somebody says you're a sheep in wool's clothing, they mean, hey, you shouldn't cannibalize yourself.
Right, or like it's almost like a glass house situation. I kind of, yeah. A sheep in wool's clothing.
Tomorrow we learn shapes.
I guess I'm wrong. Well, what am I getting wrong?
Well, not only is it not a sheep in wool's clothing, like W-O-O-L, it would be a sheep in wolves' clothing, like a wolf, but it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, it's a dangerous thing.
In both directions.
So what's the saying?
I don't think you could say it's a wolf in sheep's... No, it's not a sheep in wolves' clothing.
It's a sheep in wool's clothing.
No, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. That means it's a dangerous person that's acting really nice. It's dangerous because it's a wolf, but he's dressed up like a sheep, so he's like acting nice to trick you.
I think we're thinking of two different. I never heard that term. I always heard a sheep in wool's clothing.
Well, no, because your saying isn't a real saying.
Right. So let me half agree with Sean. I have definitely heard sheep in wolf's clothing, meaning it's a gentle thing.
Huh.
Like disguised as something more dangerous. You've heard that reverse, DA, which I think is fine. It is definitely not sheep in wool's clothing because it has nothing to do with anything because it makes no sense no matter how Sean wants to slice it up.
But a sheep in wolf's clothing would be something nice that appears to be dangerous. There's not a lot of situations like that. There's a lot of situations that there's like somebody who's like a shark or somebody who's trying to take advantage of you. That would be a wolf in sheep's clothing. They come off as nice and pleasant and friendly, but ultimately they're there to do you harm.
Is wool an actual, am I getting that right? Or is it just wolf is the fabric?
Oh boy.
No, wool is a thing. Wow. W-O-O-L. That's
so
a thing.
So I had that right.
But that has nothing to do with this saying.
But is that made from a wolf now or a sheep? Is it wool from a wolf?
It's made from a sheep, yes. Wool is not made from wolf.
Dad, how could you fault me for that? If a sheep makes clothing and it becomes wool, and then the saying sounds like a sheep in wolf's clothing, how am I that nuts then that you guys are laughing at me?
Because the saying is not what you think it is, because what you're saying and your explanation of it hurt everyone's brain.
Bogus, would you not agree that a wool and a wolf, and then including both into a saying, gets a little confusing? Why not just wolf? Fabric wolf, then.
You'd also not have to even think about what the reference means. Your reference didn't have any real explanation.
Well, just call the fabric sheep, then. It's a sheep in sheep's clothing. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, why even throw in the wool? Why are we changing the name of the fabric? Just call it sheep.
Because the stuff that grows on a sheep is wool. So that's its own thing. The saying is something completely different because it's used, as DA said, to describe something that is dangerous but looks gentle, so it tricks you. So it's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
But why give it that name? Just call it sheep hair. Why call it wool, then?
Because
it throws everything off.
They expect you to come along and bungle everything. That's why.
Well, why do you think a fish has scales and not fish skin?
Because it needs gills to swim.
Well, you would prefer, though, it's just called fish skin.
Yes. Yeah, if you just said, hey, feel this fish skin. I think I've said it before, too.
Yeah.
Skin should be skin. I understand that the aquatic animals are different because they breathe through them, they're porous and all that. But if we have hair... Everything should just be hair. Like, a sheep should have hair. It shouldn't be
porous. You don't understand that either. The fish are not porous. They have three or four gill slits on either side of them.
No.
They don't have water seeping through their entire body.
All right. Whatever. I mean, Bilotti's played us off here. I don't know what, more to add to this.
When we come back, who's having the best summer ever? Spencer Torkelson. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Get him 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 out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
49 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us on a fine Wednesday around here. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And remember that the DA Show is available in simulcast video form. You can watch on any device, anywhere, by simply going to watchda.com. No subscription, no payment, no cable provider needed. Just go to watchda.com every single morning. Also, you can watch us inside the radio.com app or the best of clips every single day available on YouTube. Just so you know, I did a quick Google search, and a wolf in sheep's clothing is actually a biblical reference where, according to the New Testament, Jesus once said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So again, beware of something that looks safe, but is actually there with bad intent. There is no reference for a sheep in wolves clothing. And there certainly is no reference to a sheep in wool's clothing. Now, the Tigers have signed the number one overall pick in Major League Baseball. He's not Torg Bellinger. He's Spencer Torkelson. And he now has the highest signing bonus out of anybody ever. He signed for $8.416 million. Okay, so under the current draft format, the largest bonus ever, signing bonus, is what Spencer Torkelson just signed for. A, he's got an amazing name, Spencer Torkelson. Number two, he was the number one overall pick, so all eyes are on him. Number three, he just made a cool $8.416 million that happens to be $1,000 more than the slot value of $8.415. So how about that? You're supposed to make $8.415. He made $8.416 million, an extra $1,000 to his $8 million haul. All good. But how about this? Spencer Torkelson, at 21 years old, is added to the Tigers' 60-man player pool to begin training with the team coming up here in Detroit for spring training 2.0, which means if Spencer Torkelson, coming out of Arizona State and the number one overall pick, actually makes some headway and looks pretty good, it's possible he plays this summer. It's possible he plays later this month in Major League Baseball with expanded rosters because of coronavirus. And I think inadvertently that would be awesome for baseball. Part of the reason baseball's draft is such a yawn is that we don't see these guys for years. You draft a kid number one overall, you might not see him for three seasons. You draft a kid 15th overall, you almost definitely won't see him for 3 years. In football, in basketball, part of the reason the draft is fun is that you see this kid, he gets drafted, and then you get to see him on the field or on the court that season. In football, you just watch the draft in April. You get to see that player in August. Preseason, September, playing for your team. Couple of months. In basketball, you get drafted in June, and then you end up playing in October. You can envision your player that you drafted turning your team around immediately. In baseball, it's not that case. There's rungs of the minor leagues to go through and seasoning and all of this. But if you could draft a guy, and then a couple of months later he's playing on your team in baseball, wouldn't that completely change how interested you are in the amateur draft of baseball? Wouldn't it completely alter how invested you are in the draft? So it's kind of a perfect storm. This year's draft happened during coronavirus. It was very wonky compared to previous drafts. This year, expanded rosters because they have to have a lot of players at their disposal. There's no minor leagues this year, so everybody that makes the team can't just get sent down to AAA and brought back up, etc. And with a larger pool of players and kind of a crapshoot type season, Spencer Torkelson could have been drafted this summer and play this summer as the number one overall pick. I think that's great for baseball. Absolutely great. When we come back here on the show, we'll talk NASCAR after a crazy weekend at Pocono with John Hunter Nemechek. We'll do that coming up here next. The young man, just 23 years old, and turning some heads on the NASCAR circuit. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.